Good morning. We have two readings this morning. Our Old Testament reading is one of my favorite psalms. It's Psalm number 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And our New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and reading from verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here, send their greetings. Amen.
So let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray together. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we gather to worship you this morning, as we gather now to reflect upon your word, help us to hear your Spirit speak into each of our hearts and help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. I reckon that most of us are missing those personal greetings with each other, those hugs with loved ones, those handshakes when we gather for church on a Sunday morning or when we leave church after the service. But I love this line in Paul's letter here to the Corinthians, where he encourages them to greet each other with a holy kiss. See, I love it when people say they're biblical Christians because they don't often greet each other with a holy kiss. In our culture, we do a good proper handshake or maybe perhaps hug someone if you know them a little bit better. But we don't generally greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, in France, of course, you say hello to someone by a kiss on both cheeks. If you're in Asia, of course, part of that culture is that you greet each other with a bow. So, of course, greeting and handshakes, if it's that for us, are particularly important. You know as well as I do, when enemies get together and offer a handshake, how incredibly symbolic that is. And that shows something of reconciliation and peace and forgiveness and moving forward. That's particularly important. So we know that during this pandemic, we can't obviously physically meet together in the same space. So we have to do it virtually. And of course, that has its own problems, not least that you can't see the body language properly with people. You can't get the social cues. We're dependent upon a good internet connection, and we're dependent on the technology working well. But this idea of greeting has wider implications, doesn't it? How do we relate to each other, especially during our current context, but also when we will gather together, whenever that will be? As we reflect on this question, let's take a step back. As we've already heard through Jenny and Gillian, through Brian's prayers, through Neil's readings, we know that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And on this Trinity Sunday, acknowledging that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know that God relates within God's self. And as Gillian said, you know, that's a difficult concept for us as adults, let alone for children to really take in. But there's a Greek term that's used in relation to God, which I think is very, very helpful. Now, I've talked about it before, and you might not have remembered it. It's the word, the Greek term, perichoresis. And perichoresis, the best definition of it, is about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being involved together in that community in a holy dance. A holy dance, something really, really beautiful about that. In other words, the three persons of the Godhead relate with each other in that deep joy and love. Now we know, we read in Scripture, that God is love itself. Where there is love, there is God. And we know that God relates within himself and relates to the world in that divine love. And that's most supremely revealed in the person, life, and work of Jesus Christ. Well, the question's been asked, you may have asked it yourself in the past, why did God create the universe? Why did God create humanity? After all, he didn't need to do it. Well, we believe that God chose to create as the outworking of his love. And he invites all of his creation to relate with him in that love, to enjoy that experience of life in him. Of course, we're reminded in Psalm 8 that God has put humanity in charge as stewards over his good creation. And we know, sadly, that as a human race, we have failed in that role. If we're to relate to God's creation with his love, we know that it doesn't happen across the board. The desire to make money, to have power, leads to destruction of the earth, of our humanity, of all the various species. The rainforests have been scythed down. The oceans are polluted with plastic. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. This is not how God intends for his creation to be. God's creation isn't flourishing as it ought. No wonder then that people are saying that they don't want to go back to all that life was before the pandemic. We want to keep the good, but get rid of the bad things, get rid of the negative things. Things that were stopping us from flourishing as part of God's good creation. So as we've heard already, and as we know only too well, that we are to relate to God with God's love, and we are to relate to each other in that same love. That is how creation flourishes. But we know only too well relationships can be tough. As humans, we know that with our own personalities and differing viewpoints, it could be a challenge to relate to each other in that love. We have to do better at living with different points of view on various aspects of life. But as God's people, we are to live with kingdom values. So when it comes to evil in this world, anything that prevents God's good creation from flourishing, we are to seek it out and try to eradicate it. When it comes to racial prejudice and injustice, we need to work, therefore, to bring healing and justice and reconciliation. We've seen on the news what is happening in America with the protests after the death of George Floyd during being held in police custody in Minneapolis. And of course, this has spilled over to other places around the world. All the protests we've seen in Belfast and other parts in the UK and right across the world. People have joined in solidarity with African Americans, those who are black. I'm sure that none of us would like to think of ourselves as racist, and we would certainly get upset, I think, if anybody was to call us racist. But we know only too well that it isn't just America that experiences such problems as racism. In Northern Ireland, statistics reveal that we have the highest level of reported racist hate crimes per person than anywhere else in the United Kingdom. That was in The Guardian this week. But it's not just overt racist hate crimes, but an inner attitude that I think is so much of the problem. I remember when I announced that I was getting married to a South African, one member of the congregations that I was serving in at the time asked me, "Is she black?" See, even when we ourselves scratch beneath the surface of our own attitudes, perhaps things aren't as pure as we would like for them to be. As disciples of Jesus, we remember the prayer he gave his followers, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, our job is to try to make what it's like up in heaven be what it's like down on earth. That's the kind of language that we need to hear again and again. And we know that society fails to reflect the values of God's kingdom. It's sad to admit that there are such things as racism, but also sexism and ageism and homophobia. As a human race, we are guilty of seeing the difference in another rather than seeing a common humanity, a fellow person made in the image and likeness of God. We're guilty of seeing a certain race or nationality or culture as less than, in some way, inferior to ourselves. That arrogance comes from sinfulness, and it is against the values of God's kingdom. It's not only seen in the horrors of the Holocaust back in history, but it is seen around the world today. And in these days, we have been reminded that racism is alive and well, as if we needed a reminder. So as God relates in love within God's self as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are to relate to God in that same love, and therefore we are to relate with others in that same divine love. So what is our response to this? I think that the first thing that we need to do is repent. We need to repent of our racism or sexism or homophobia or whatever stops us from seeing in another person the true image and likeness of God. And perhaps before we repent, we need to listen to the cries of all those who have been oppressed by some parts of our society. I'm only too well aware that I am a white, middle-aged, yes, middle-aged, middle-class, heterosexual male. I have everything going for me. So I need to listen to those who have different perspectives than me, to those who are oppressed and ostracized in those parts of society. I need to hear their experiences and their traumas. And then from that place of listening, then I need to come to that place of repentance, because we need to find ways to relate with everybody within the love of God. And that begins by seeing Jesus in every single person. It's the Matthew 25 principle. When we give food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, when we clothe the naked, when we welcome the stranger, when we do it for the least of these in society, we are doing it for Jesus. When I was in Washington, D.C., many years ago, for my second year training for the ordained ministry, I was invited to preach at an African-American church in downtown Washington, not far from the White House. And it was an incredible experience and you know, far more Pentecostal in nature than I was certainly used to coming from, you know, Ballyhoe Methodist. But at the end of the service, after sharing the grace together, everybody in the congregation got from where they were and they gathered in a circle and they held hands and they all sang, "We Shall Overcome." Now, there were three of us in the congregation that morning who were white. And here was me, a young white guy from Irish Methodism. And I remember the hairs on the back of my neck, and it was just so moving. This is the cry of African Americans in their plight. But it is the case throughout the world. If we are to relate with God in love and bring God's life into the world, then racism and every form of prejudice and injustice must be eradicated. And we in the church need to work for God's justice as part of building for his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Seems appropriate this morning, perhaps, to offer a couple of sayings of Martin Luther King. I think these are very helpful in these days. He said, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is a burden too great to bear." He also said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Let me close with the words of Scripture. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good." And as John wrote, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars." There's a challenge for us in terms of attitudes we hold and actions we live by when it comes to racism, yes, but other things as well, like sexism, ageism, homophobia, whatever. When we fail to see the image and likeness of God in another, however defaced that image and likeness has become over time. So may we be people of kingdom values who relate to God and with each other in that love which comes from God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together. So, eternal God, we thank you that you relate within yourself in that love, as you live in that community, in that joyful dance. So, Lord, it is our prayer that you would challenge us, that you would forgive us for any attitudes or actions of racism or any form of injustice that fails to see in another human being your image and your likeness. So, eternal God, challenge us from your word and help us to live in your love for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.